On this Sunday night, terror in London. 8 minutes of horror. The van running people over on the bridge, followed by the stabbing rampage. Tonight, eyewitnesses talk about how they escaped the deadly attack. The Prime Minister declares enough is enough, while President Trump criticizes the mayor of London, pushing again for his travel ban. And after it all, moments of unity and defiance as the stars turn out in Manchester. One-on-One, our exclusive interview with Vladimir Putin. Tonight, Megyn Kelly questions the Russian president about the American president and his age. Cancer Lifeline, the new system that's helping cancer patients live longer, and it's right in their own hands. And oh, the places you'll go. Could there be anything better than a book by Dr. Seuss? Get ready, kids, for the Dr. Seuss Museum. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. Today, the details of that deadly attack that terrified London last night began to come into sharper focus as survivors told their stories. Police have made arrests and say they're still searching for associates of the attackers, but they do believe they shot and killed all of the suspects directly involved last night. Dozens were injured, and among those killed, not only British citizens, but a French national and a Canadian. Today, strong words from Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May.
There is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. Enough is enough.
President Trump used Twitter to weigh in on how best to combat terrorism. Our team has been reporting on this all day, and we begin tonight with our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel. Richard, good evening.
Good evening, Kate. ISIS has just claimed responsibility for this attack, but it offered no proof that it was directly involved. This was an extremely unsophisticated attack involving a few men, some knives, and a van that was rented by the hour. But it's part of a wave of violence that this country is struggling to contain.
Just before 10 p.m., a van began to speed across London Bridge, jumping on and off the curb, swerving into pedestrians, coming to a halt on a street filled with bars and restaurants.
Before that, just you know,
car crash,
accident. And then,
so the van came to a crashing stop.
This group of Lithuanian Londoners out for a birthday celebration then saw three men jump out of the van that nearly hit them, armed with knives.
I think there was a bar manager. He stabbed him like 10 times, so it's still death.
He stabbed him to death in front of you.
Yeah.
This cell phone footage shows the men walking calmly through the market, looking for their next victims.
The guy was running after me, but I managed to run away from him.
So he was running after you?
Yeah.
Get away!
SWAT teams arrive quickly and enforce, ordering bar goers to get down. Within minutes, all three suspects were killed by armed officers. The vests the attackers were wearing, which looked like suicide bombs, turned out to be fakes. The rampage left seven dead and nearly 50 injured, many critically. British authorities say there is no connection to the recent bombing in Manchester, except that both cells were inspired by the same extreme jihadist views. Now investigators are tracking down friends and relatives of the attackers to find out if they were part of a wider network.
Neighbors say at least one of the attackers lived in this apartment building on the outskirts of London, and that police detained multiple people from here for questioning.
Neighbors said the suspected attacker who lived here didn't stand out.
It was a nice guy. Nothing from what I've seen for the 2-3 years that I've been here, and I've known him as well. No complaints, nothing. Just a bit of a shock.
ISIS put out a call for attacks just like this one to be carried out during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Last year, ISIS put out a very similar call, and Ramadan turned out to be a very bloody month. So we may not have seen the last of this.
Richard Engel in London for us. Richard, thank you. While the British Prime Minister said enough is enough after last night's violence, she also spoke about obstacles to defeating the terrorists. Prime Minister May said terrorists must be denied the safe spaces where they operate, both online and in the real world. NBC's Bill Neely has more tonight on a country under siege.
Armed police ended this massacre in 8 minutes.
with overwhelming firepower. But this is the third attack in 3 months here. In March, a driver rammed pedestrians on another London bridge, then stabbed a policeman to death. 2 weeks ago, it was a suicide bomber in Manchester, killing 22.
We believe we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as terrorism breeds terrorism.
Things need to change, she said, but conceded police action alone won't beat terrorists.
You're scared?
Yeah, of course I am.
Near the scene of police raids today, Muslims are afraid and angry.
The police should do more.
Yeah, they should do more.
Not just Muslim communities.
Just Muslim communities. You can't just leave on Muslim communities. You think we're sitting here thinking, oh yes, it's okay. Absolutely not.
London's Muslim mayor is rallying the city.
I'm quite clear that we will never let them win, nor will we allow them to cower our city or Londoners.
But the threat is huge. British intelligence agencies are running 500 active investigations of 3,000 people they believe pose an Islamist threat. But up to 20,000 more are of interest.
Security services are struggling.
They are struggling. They've been expanded hugely in the UK. They've doubled in size, but that still doesn't solve the problem.
And this terror cell is now a dead end.
This search will provide evidence, but it may not prevent any future attack. There is no proof so far these three men were directed by anyone.
What we're facing right now is a generational conflict. This is going to be with us for quite a long time.
Police tonight fear more low-tech copycat attacks, the hardest to predict or prevent.
And the timing of this attack, surely no coincidence, just days before Britain's voters choose their Prime Minister in Thursday's election. The police here on high alert and ordinary people here asking, what's next and how do we stop this? Kate?
Bill Neely, thank you. For his part, President Trump reacted quickly in his own way to the London attack with a mix of sympathy, offers of help, criticism, and promoting his own security agenda. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell has more on all that.
President Trump's unconventional London response, sticking with his weekend routine. 4 hours at his Virginia golf resort, spotted with Super Bowl champ Peyton Manning and Tennessee Senator Bob Corker. He had already offered the expected condolences, so today the president teed off on Twitter. Point one, we must stop being politically correct regarding the business of security for our people. Point two, the president questioned the judgment of London's mayor, who described the city as among the safest.
Londoners will see an increased police presence today and over the course of the next few days. No reason to be alarmed.
President Trump seized on those last five words after citing the casualties. Mayor of London says there is no reason to be alarmed. London's first Muslim mayor, Sadiq Khan, and the president have tangled publicly before over the proposed immigration travel ban. That was point three. President Trump tweeted right after the attacks, "We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban as an extra level of safety." Blocked by federal judges, the Trump administration urged the Supreme Court to permit enforcement of its 90-day hold on visas to six Muslim-majority countries. Democrats call it discriminatory.
There's really no evidence to suggest that by banning Muslims or banning Muslims from a particular set of six countries, that we would make ourselves here in the United States safer.
Some Republicans concerned about the specific ban say the president has a point.
We need to do a better job of vetting individuals who are coming from war-torn countries into our nation.
Tonight, the president and first lady attend the annual gala to benefit Ford's Theater. It'll be the first time the president is on camera, and advisors say it is possible that he will comment on London. Simply doing that would be a traditional leader response, even if President Trump brings his more hardened political edge. Kate?
And Kelly, I know you'll keep an eye on that. Kelly O'Donnell, thanks so much. There is a heavy police presence tonight in Portland, Oregon, and threats of violence as hundreds of people gather for competing political rallies there. The protests come 9 days after two men were stabbed to death on a train by a man shouting anti-Muslim slurs. NBC's Gadi Schwartz is there and has our report.
A tense face-off in Portland. Pro-Trump supporters at an event billed as a free speech rally, countered by anti-Trump activists and a large police presence.
USA! USA!
No hate! No fear! In
It comes just days after a hate-fueled attack on a train.
Free speech or die, Portland.
The suspect, white supremacist Jeremy Christian, charged with killing two men who intervened when Christian yelled anti-Muslim insults at two young women.
This is my country!
Organizers of today's rallies say they have nothing to do with Christian, who had attended one of their events in the past, seen here making a Nazi salute. They said they kicked him out of that rally. Following the train attack, the mayor of Portland, fearing more violence, urged the federal government to deny a rally permit. But the rally, held in a federal plaza, was allowed to proceed.
To me, it's about free speech. It's about other people not being able to shut us down just because they disagree with what we think and say.
Police moving in at the slightest confrontation.
1058 coming in with an arrest.
Hey, Kate, I want to show you what's happening right now. You see police. Police are pushing people back into this park. These are the anti-Trump protesters over here on this side of the street. This is where the pro-Trump rally was happening. Right now, this park is still surrounded by three sides of protesters. Back to you.
All right, Gadi Schwartz out in Portland. Thank you. Bill Cosby goes on trial tomorrow in a courtroom outside Philadelphia, charged with sexual assault. The case will focus on what happened one night 13 years ago between Cosby and Andrea Constant, a former basketball official at Temple University, Cosby's alma mater. Constant is expected to testify this week. Cosby has said he will not take the stand in his own defense. If convicted, Cosby faces a maximum of 15 to 30 years in prison. And back to where we started tonight, to the UK, and a show of unity this evening in Manchester, 2 weeks after a suicide bomber killed 22 people as they left a concert there. There was another concert tonight, this one a benefit in honor of the victims. NBC's Kelly Kobiea on the show of strength.
In scarred Manchester, 50,000 people facing the fear.
You looked fear right in the face and you said, no, we are Manchester and the world is watching.
Ariana Grande back on stage 13 days after the bombing that injured and killed so many young fans.
It was one of the best experiences of my life, and then it turned into the worst.
16-year-old Kira Glossop didn't think she'd survive that night. In her wheelchair, she couldn't get to the exits.
I went through all the things I've not done with my life yet, and it was really, really, really horrible. Because you heard everybody, like, yelling for the parents, yelling for the children, the friends.
Kira hoped to replace those memories with something better.
You've got to show them that they're not going to beat you.
But this morning, her tickets hadn't come through. Thousands came early, nervous, anxious, thinking of London.
Something's happened again last night. It's just really upsetting.
Police closed the streets, guarded the gates, and searched every bag. 2 hours before showtime.
You made it.
I know, I'm really excited.
You're going to see her.
I know, I can't wait.
Kira, with tickets and a brave face. Tonight, a chance to make new memories, to heal. 15-year-old Olivia Campbell was one of the first victims to be named.
I had the pleasure of meeting Olivia's mommy a few days ago. She told me that Olivia would have wanted to hear the hits.
Tonight, they're singing along and sending a message.
It's just showing my support for everybody and showing that we're unbreakable.
Tonight, the Red Cross said they raised nearly $3 million in donations on the We Love Manchester website and are hoping for another million once ticket sales are counted, money that will go towards supporting victims and their families. Kate.
Kelly Kobiea, one positive out of all of this. Still ahead tonight, how iPads and other devices are helping people with cancer live longer. The fascinating results of a new study. Also, inside the world of Dr. Seuss, a museum dedicated to the man who gave us green eggs and ham, the cat in the hat, and so much more. We're back with a study out tonight on surviving cancer and the finding that an electronic lifeline can help people live longer. It's being reported by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, and it's all about getting patients to report their symptoms so they can get the help they might need. Our medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, has the details.
2 years ago, cancer patient Kathy Kowski was too sick to make the short walk from her home to the ocean. After three surgeries and 29 days of radiation, the side effects were debilitating.
The pain was absolutely agonizing. I just thought that was the end for me. I really did.
Like so many patients, instead of calling a doctor, she suffered in silence.
I wasn't going to complain. You know, you've suffered through so many different types of pains during these treatments, you don't know when you should really worry.
What many don't realize, symptoms from treatment aren't only dangerous, they can be fatal.
If side effects get out of control, they can be deadly. And this system helps us to catch things early and to intervene before they cause terrible complications.
The system is a simple online questionnaire. In 12 quick clicks, patients at home can let their physician know how they're feeling. I tested the system to see how it works.
What was the severity of your pain at its worst? I'll put that one very severe.
And I just got an alert on my phone. This was
and in that instant, an urgent message.
It's telling the patient to call, but it's also telling the staff to call the patient.
That's right.
In a study conducted by Memorial Sloan Kettering, 766 patients reported symptoms over 7 years. The results? Quality of life nearly doubled. Trips to the ER decreased by 17%, and patients were able to remain on chemo for 2 months longer. The most significant outcome?
Patients do live longer when they are using the system.
5 months longer. That's better than the benefits of most cancer medicines. For Kathy, it was that one online question that made all the difference in her recovery.
They decided to change my medication. I feel much better now.
A new use of technology to make life better and longer for those fighting cancer. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, New York.
Just simple communication. When we come back, one-on-one with Vladimir Putin, Megyn Kelly's exclusive interview with the Russian president. This week will bring renewed attention to the congressional investigation into Russian interference with the American election and whether Trump associates colluded with the Russians. Former FBI Director James Comey scheduled to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday. Ahead of all of that, my colleague Megyn Kelly sat down for an exclusive interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg. She asked specifically about his interactions with members of Trump's team, including former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn.
He came over here for a dinner, a photo of which has been widely circulated in the American media. What was the nature of your relationship with him?
You and I personally have a much closer relationship than I had with Mr. Flynn. You and I met yesterday evening. You and I have been working together all day today, and now we're meeting again. When I came to the event for our company, Russia Today, and sat down at the table, next to me, there was a gentleman sitting on one side. I made my speech. Then we talked about some other stuff, and I got up and left. And then afterwards, I was told, you know, there was an American gentleman. He was involved in some things. He used to be in the security services. That's it. I didn't even really talk to him. That's the extent of my acquaintance with Mr. Flynn.
So we went on to discuss Jared Kushner, and for the first time, he speaks directly to his relationship with Kushner and what Kushner did and did not do. And then I went on, Kate, to ask him specifically about whether the Kremlin has any damaging information on President Trump.
You're not going to tell us what that answer was.
Yeah, I got to tune in tonight.
Beyond your Putin interview, you also have a story tonight about elephants in Kenya with Harry Smith and about how they're trying to save them.
Tens of thousands of these animals are being killed by poachers every year. There is a woman who's given up her life to go over there and fight this problem, and the way she's doing it is revolutionary, and America will fall in love with Faye Cuevas tonight.
And you can watch all of it right here on the debut of Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly tonight, 7, 6 Central Time. And coming up right here, the life of a creative genius, a place where kids of all ages can see how Dr. Seuss made his magic.
Red feet.
Finally tonight, if you and your kids or maybe your grandkids can't get enough of Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go, now there's a place you can go to immerse yourselves in all of his greatest stories. A new museum dedicated to the life and work of the man who's been a household name for generations. It opened this weekend, and our Kevin Tibbles got a preview.
Everyone's got a favorite.
Be nice to
Pop on top.
The Lorax.
And why not? No one makes learning to read more fun than Dr. Seuss.
One fish, two fish, red fish.
Blue fish.
And fun is what this new museum, or is that Seussium, is all about.
Thing one, thing two.
Thing three.
No!
he wanted children to pick up a book and not be able to put it down.
Theodore Geisel was Dr. Seuss. In fact, Seuss was his middle name, and he hailed from right here in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll give a warm welcome to Dr. Seuss, Mr. Ted Geisel.
Hello.
Even his home study, where Geisel breathed life into so many characters, has been restored here with the assistance of his stepdaughter, Lee Gray Diamond.
We have his easel and his work table and his chair and his pencils and his oils. We have the actual papers that he worked on. It's the only time you're ever going to see anything like this.
Publishing more than 40 books, they've sold more than 650 million copies worldwide. Do you like green eggs and ham? The biggest treat of all, a kid's expression when you're reading one of those stories.
I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them
anywhere!
There's always that kindness, and kindness is timeless, and the sense of fun is timeless.
And on this fun day, a new generation learns the more that you read, the more things you will know. And the more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Springfield, Massachusetts.
All the things you can think. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be back in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.